Call the order of the meeting of the Taney County Regional Sewer District for Tuesday, July 20th, 2010. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance and an invocation.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Please give the Sewer Board wisdom to make the right decisions for our community and our environment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Roll call, please.
Rob Johns.
Larry Gardner.
Nathan Easley.
Ron Daniels. We do have a quorum. First item on the agenda is the agenda review and updates.
Okay. Basically, Mr. Paulson, I don't think he had anything to present to the board. Hey, there he is. We did have some legal issues in here in the billing discussion that you found, Mr. Daniels. Bob, I was unable. I've emailed that twice to Mr. Merrill, and I did not get a response from him. Bob had looked at some of those criminal statutes, Bob, that we looked at about tampering and different things. That I think Bob's got a real good insight to that. If he would be able to maybe address them slightly. I didn't want to spring that on you, but I didn't know if he was going to make it or not.
Yeah, it's been a while since I looked at it. So a week or two ago, I believe, and if I could just look at them real quick, I could address
them. We got
them.
A copy of those for you. The Great River Engineering, Great River and Associates staff are here to give a presentation on the inventory program that we discussed at the last board meeting. Again, this would be a replacement from the program that we have now that's working subpar at best. The program's very important to us in order to keep track of the pumps and keep track of where we're having problem areas, problem locations, and a multitude of other things. And we'll get to you here in a minute and appreciate you being here today to give us more information on that. Delinquent accounts, the main reason for this meeting today is to go over the staffing and the utility issues in delinquent accounts. We've got quite a bit of information here. I've asked Liz Hudson. Liz is the chief billing clerk that we have in the utility to be here to discuss some of the day-to-day operational problems and answer any questions you gentlemen might have from her perspective on what we can do to better the efforts and the billing department as it is today. In administrative reports, basically the only thing I had was not shared with Mr. Johns and Mr. Daniels about Meadow Ridge subdivision. It's also known as Horizon Hills. The Property Owners Association would like to begin discussions again on a possible sewer project in that area. This project out of the priority matrix, I believe there's some 250 homes over there. In order to get them on a public sewer, it would take approximately 9 or 10 manholes and 1,000 foot of gravity, 8-inch gravity sewer. There is a railroad bore there that would be add a little complexity to the project, but I think the cost benefit based on the original feasibility study was about $10,000 a connection, which that's excellent. These days, our projects, we run anywhere from the $20,000s to the $30,000 connections. So that's something Joe Tarvin with Aegis Engineering is trying to set up a meeting that we can meet and get some of the details, and hopefully at the next meeting bring you back a little, more information as far as that's concerned. And then the other issue, we had the solicitation for the utility truck. We talked about that briefly. Bob said he'd be more comfortable discussing that in executive session. And so that's the other thing we have to discuss today. That's all I have, sir.
Okay. Item number two is review and approval of the minutes in the July 6, 2010 Board of Trustees meeting. Anyone have comments on those? Questions?
I wasn't here, so I don't know anything about it.
I would say that Ms. Seitz from Academy Commons, I printed off a copy of our information of how our rates were structured and sent that to her with a letter of explanation. I haven't heard anything back, so, you know, I did. I asked her to share that with the other people within the development that had questions. There's several people on that petition. I didn't want to, you know, the ink costs so much these days. I didn't want to make a copy for everybody that might not be interested.
I hear a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll approve the minutes as presented.
Do we have a second?
He wasn't here
either. I'll second it. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Question? If I wasn't here, it doesn't make sense for me to approve them. I wasn't sure what transpired. No, I don't think Nathan was either.
I was gone also.
We can table it.
So what do we do?
That's up to you. I would see no reason you couldn't vote on it.
I'll vote yes. I have faith in our secretary. Now you've got everybody.
Item number 3 is disbursements. Does anyone have questions on the bills to be paid? But please let the record show that although I will call for the vote, I will not vote on this issue. No questions or comments. Do we have a motion to pay the bills as presented?
I'll make that motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Correct. Public comment. Move on to item number 4, legal update. Mr. Paulson.
I'm prepared to offer you a comment on 569 at the present time. Also, there was a meeting with Kirbyville that I would prefer to address in another format. But when was that, last Thursday night?
That was last Thursday night, yes, sir.
And they had an executive session, and they invited Mr. Cummings, Mr. Suti, and myself to attend with them, and we had a discussion. Certainly, they asked us to report back, so I believe we can do that in executive. 569, a person commits the crime of tampering in the second degree, and the applicable or the most applicable area with would be 3, tampers or makes connection with the property of the utility. Or 4, tampers with or causes to be tampered with any meter or other property of an electric, gas, steam, or water utility, the effect of which tampering is either to prevent the proper measuring of that utility or to permit the diversion of any electric, gas, steam, or water service. And unless we put a block in there, you know, to block the sewage from going down and they removed it, or if they were connecting without paying their connection fee, I think we could have them prosecuted under this section. But simply to continue to flush, I don't know that we have a case of tampering. They're just continuing to flush. I suppose you could make the argument that by flushing they were tampering and sending stuff down, but that would be a little bit of a stretch, I think. But
I think that's why we're trying to find a statute in there that by using a service but yet not paying for the service, where that would be come in the criminal sense.
It says tampers or make connection with the property of a utility. Flushing your toilet, you're sending stuff down into the line of the utility. Tampers with or causes to be, I mean, we're not reconnecting. I mean, basically what they're saying is if you go out and reconnect your electric or reconnect your gas, or if you do something to the meter so that it doesn't read properly, or you go get some electric and run it over to your house from your neighbor's house, that you're tampering. If you've already got your sewer hooked up and all you're doing is continuing to turn on the water and have it go down the drain, I suppose you could make an argument that, that's tampering, but that would be, it'd be a difficult argument, I think.
One thing, Bob, just, you know, on the definitions page, the definition of to tamper is to interfere with something improperly, to meddle with, displace it, make unwarranted alterations in its existing condition, or to deprive temporarily the owner or possessor of that thing. And it just, we were thinking that possibly that the use of it would be considered, without paying for the service, would be considered to interfere with something improperly or to meddle with. Like you said, that may be a stretch, but
I mean, you could see if it flew, but it would be a stretch, and you'd have to have the prosecutor cooperate and prosecute these cases, and you'd have to have the judge or jury, depending on what kind of case it was, agree with you on your definition. And, you know, it's hard to make a stretch, especially on this type of offense. But certainly I'll do whatever we can, but I think our best bet is to shut off people's water. And if they were to tamper with it and turn it back on, then they would be violating this. And I think people will pay if you turn off their water. Where we have wells only, we have a problem. And what we're doing is filing liens now, is my understanding. And
we got 6 going out today, and I think Liz has got 5 more ready for your review. And
then we have one. And if someone can't sell their house without paying the bill, eventually we'll get the bill paid. You know, it may take a while, but eventually we'll get it paid. But where there's water, we need to do the interruption of service of the water.
Will there be any resolution through small claims court on here as well?
There's a limit to how often you can go to small claims court when you're an entity, whether you're a corporation or so you might be able to go there a few times. And a judgment isn't necessarily going to get you the money, but you can go ahead and get a garnishment on their wages and that sort of thing. Unless it's a substantial amount of money, it's not worth, quite honestly, it's not worth litigating. If it's under $500 that's owed, are you going to burn that up? If you can get legal fees, that's one thing, and then you can collect. But, I mean, if it's less than $500, you're going to burn that up easily in legal time. If that makes any sense. But I know that Taney County Water District number 2 had on their agenda, and I thought John had called or something, but he didn't call to get on the agenda, but they had on their agenda, evidently someone had talked to them about maybe simplifying the agreement some. Mm-hmm. So they did have some discussion on that at their last meeting. But,
yeah, I think that I talked to Pat today, and it was a special meeting call for one other, for another reason, yet it kind of bled over into discussing that briefly. He came in today and he wanted a copy of the proposed agreement that we wished had got approved, and then what we currently have now with them. And I gave him 2 copies of that, and I think it's going to be on their agenda for next Tuesday night.
Okay. Bob, the liens we're filing, do they ever expire?
Not to my understanding, they do not expire. They're there. And that now you release them once they've satisfied the fees that are owed, plus attorney's fees. And the statute actually talks about, and on the lien form itself, we have.
The reason I ask is that there was an issue over at Lake Taney Como Woods in Branson, and where they had filed liens against a bunch of properties. And after 10 years, those all by the wayside. So I don't know if it was a different kind of lien.
I can do some research and see if it's a different kind of lien. And I would sure hope that we would collect them within 10 years. And we really need to go to the water interruption where we can.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the thought of the lien is to get the lien filed to encumber that property so they can't, if they're in foreclosure, run off. So, you know, it may take 6 months to get legal action.
Well, I understand the purpose of it. I just want to make sure we're not wasting.
Protect ourselves beyond 10 years.
Right.
And I know judgments, you have to get them basically renewed every 10 years, because if you wait more than 10 years, the judgment may not be any good. So it may be that the lien has to be renewed, but we can renew liens. The amounts are going to change. if they're not paying, the amounts are going to go up and we can file another lien and release the other one.
That's one question that Liz and I had. Now, them liens are filed for a certain amount at the time that they're filed.
I spoke with her about this, and I think that we can require that they pay their current bill and apply it to that, and then start to apply it to the lien amount before we release the lien.
Okay. We've also got.
But if you were to 2 years from now release the lien simultaneous with filing a new one for a greater amount, I think if you do that periodically, it takes care of your 10-year problem too.
We've also got, in addition to the sewer fees, we've got $100 in there to cover the cost of recordation and the filing of the lease and attorney's fees.
Yeah.
So we're looking to recover our cost to do the action itself too.
Correct. I mean, we've got some huge amounts.
And Bob, you said you had other information that would be for executive session later.
I guess I'll have to be here for executive session later. We met with Kirbyville and had to do with an issue in Kirbyville. And John can fill you in on what was discussed, but I should probably be here, so I'll be here.
That's kind of a legal point of view on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? If one could plug a line, say it was on a well, and we plugged our line, would we have liability, any damages inside the structure?
That's the problem. We could, and DNR frowns on it greatly.
Yeah.
I had an article once upon a time where DNR was really, I mean, even going after entities for doing that. I don't know that they are currently, and I know some entities that do use those blocks in service, but generally they're frowned upon by DNR, and they're not a good idea, and they could give you some liability. I'm not saying that they will, but, I mean, the potential is there.
Larry, it's probably no more liability than a power company would have turning off power for non-payment.
And the pipes freezing up.
Pipes freezing up or food in the freezer going bad. I mean, anytime you disconnect service for even a legitimate reason, you assume some liability. It doesn't mean it's not possible.
They make a device that's about $600. It's kind of like a meter pit. And City of Branson actually got us the information, and you install it in line in your easement, and you basically can turn it off and lock it shut, but you know, you have the cost to install it, and you know, the restoration of the easement and all those type of things, and then the possible liability issue too.
I mean, you'd have to make the place where you would insert the device. You'd have to buy the devices, and you'd have to have several of them, and would it be a worthwhile, I mean, I don't know.
I think once we get through this, you know, Rush Inwick, they had a court date set for the 15th, but then this judge was unable to make it, so they are trying to get a court date set on this one that we currently got in litigation. So that's going to be coming around pretty soon. The collection agencies I've spoke with, they've been involved in getting, they have attorneys on staff that help with these collections also, but she said what they're seeing is that, like you say, you can get a judgment, but collecting your money is still an issue because the court has awarded it to you, you know, getting your money from the people.
Well, there's still work to do in order to collect the judgment. And having a collection agency write a letter, usually after the collection agency, you have an attorney write the letter, and we already have an attorney writing the letter. And, I mean, until they have to, they're not going to pay until their feet are being held to the fire. People won't even show up for court, like let you take a default judgment, and then once you try to collect on it, maybe then they'll pay.
If they didn't pay, though, would it be in contempt of court or contempt of a judge's order? Where does it go from there if they just don't pay?
If they don't pay, you're going to have to collect, and you're going to have to find something that they own in their name only, or if you've got a judgment against a husband and wife, and then you're going to have to either garnish their wages or execute on their property and get your money. I mean, that's how you do it.
So that's kind of the beginning.
It's a lot of work.
The only reason I said that, not so much that we would do that, but it might not be a bad threat that we could do it. If they're delinquent, and with the next bill we send them or whatever, maybe the threat of that might be enough to get some people.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
The letters that we send out say that we are going to disconnect if they don't pay by a certain time. They found out that we don't disconnect and they just throw them in the trash.
Then I worry about some of those, you know, like pulling the clean out off of it that run on the ground. Then we've got an environmental issue out there, which they, you know, the health, everybody sends everybody to us. The health department sends people to us. I mean,
I sue them. They continue to use it and continue to have it flow out onto the ground until I actually go to court and have them, the judge order them out of their house and not to occupy their house. And then they decide they want to get it fixed. I mean, I've had several of those, haven't I?
Yeah, I mean, we're open to anything on that issue. That's something it's just always been the fear that somebody would back up in the house and somebody would get contaminated by wastewater backing up in the bathtub or something. They breathe that in, a child or something gets sick, and it can really be it. Is it so epidemic to where we take that chance? I don't know.
And what's the cost effectiveness of putting that system in place? I mean, I don't know. Much easier to shut off their water where we can.
Well, I think we're talking about the ones that are on private wells, so, you know.
If I can make a suggestion that we not build too many sewers where there's not also central water.
Honestly, though, our delinquencies by far are in the Mount Branson Lakeshore Drive area, which is really District Number 2. Pretty much all of it. There are some areas down Lakeshore Drive that are not, but the vast majority is. So the water shut off. That and Coon Creek, and I think a lot of the Coon Creek is Gobbler's Knob, or possibly Holiday Hills, which we have a great water shut off agreement with Holiday Hills now that we use every day.
If we had the water shut off with Taney County Water District Number 2 and we utilized it, I think it would take care of anywhere from 60% to 80% of our problem.
I mean, like, we had 80-something in Lakeshore Drive, Mount Branson. Poverty Point, we had like 10 or 13, you know, so.
Thanks, Bob.
All right.
John, I see they have listed here a project update. Is there anything on the project update?
Really didn't. That's just there. I mean, okay. We didn't schedule anybody for that, Mr. Daniels, just because we wanted to devote as much time to the utilities as we could.
Okay, then item number 5, review and action projects, computer program for utility repair shop.
Good afternoon. As Mr. Suti said, during the last meeting, you guys had asked us to come back and discuss the current database that the sewer district used for grinder pump parts. Josie Bach from our office has done quite a bit of work with Leo and Mr. Hooker on their database and wanted to come and give you an update of basically what system they currently use and what we plan on doing for you guys to fix that solution. So, Joseph, you want to
okay.
Run through that system. As you mentioned, I've been working with Leo and the day before that, since November, just trying to get some bugs worked out. They've had a lot of issues with trying to keep the inventory updated and reports run correctly. We've gone back several times and we still see there's going to be some more issues. And when I've delved into the database and the system itself that we have here, there's a lot of just unnecessary code and tables that are just outdated and corrupted. So my suggestion was just recreate the whole program, verify table information with what Leo has and what he puts in. It was also updated to more necessary information that he's reporting back to you. He stated that there is a lot of stuff that he doesn't even need, so we don't need to bog it down with that info, or there's stuff that he does need. He does a lot of reporting that he either does manually handwritten out or set up a spreadsheet that we can incorporate into this. So currently, I mean, what he's using it for is to, they have their blue data sheets, they take a service call, and so they come in and enter that information in based on whatever they're done, who's worked on it, the pump serial number, and all the parts that they have used during the call. They can also look up these records by order number. Originally they were supposed to be able to look at it by order number, serial pump number, or address. And when the database was originally created, some of the address information wasn't kind of created correctly, and so being able to look it up easily with this current system does not happen, and so the address information needs to be corrected and formatted correctly, I should say.
Would that be something that would be possible with a new system?
Yeah, I mean, it's not only the system, but it's just going back and massaging the data to make sure it's correct and verifying it with addresses and proper formatting. When I looked at his system, some of the errors and issues he's been having in it, some of it I contribute to the actual application, some of it may be his computer system itself, some of it we couldn't determine what was causing the bug or the problem that he was having, so that's what this letter suggested, just at least our part that I stated in that letter would cover rebuilding this whole system, working with Leo and getting all the data up to date, correct, including a lot of new parts, information, and pricing. And as well as fixing the addressing so that they can look by order number, serial number, and the proper address, and then return back the appropriate information, because even when you could, it would return back all the records, so really fixing those problems. And when we were doing it, he wasn't having a way to back up any of the stuff. If he had an external, it wouldn't recognize it, so he was out had another suggestion of getting a new computer added on, but that is not in price quote that I quoted you, but we are able to help him find an adequate computer to run this system on using the same software he has. No software purchases would be necessary, providing him to find the disks to install on. So just be updating it, being able to run the same reports that you currently are doing, and then a couple more that he does by hand. Right now we can add and edit parts with this system, where quantity in stock, and can use his inventory within this, adjust the cost to the parts, anything he's going to need to do. He can kind of do it now, he'll definitely be able to have a better inventory system so he knows what he's got, as well as the cost for each visit, as well as the total cost of inventory he's got there in the shop. That's kind of what our proposal is basically revamp, update, clean up the system so it runs properly and gives back correct information.
Given the current price of computer systems like a Dell or a HP or something like that, are we looking at like a median system or?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, something you can give between $450,
$600. Okay.
All right. It's really, it's all the need.
Now, the newest version of Windows.
I'm sorry. I said he's already got a monitor.
Yeah, he's already got the monitor and the printer. We just need the tower, you know.
Exactly, that's saving money there.
Yeah, yeah. And with the newest version of Windows, would this be something that would work with that?
The newest version, I'm pretty sure it recognizes if you use the same Microsoft Office version, it'll still recognize that.
Okay.
How your all's licensing for your IS department works and software, if you guys are separate or...
Yeah, we're separate in a way.
Okay. You can still load, I think this is Office 2003 that he had. Mm-hmm. Should still be able to load it on there. I can double check that to make sure.
That's what I thought.
I'm assuming probably most of the towers you're going to get Windows 7, and so
yeah.
And then a whole lot with licensing on that.
He probably has Windows XP, he doesn't have Office XP.
Oh, okay.
He's got Office 2003.
Say that's
Windows XP.
That's kind of, we'd like to have a good clean break there because it's kind of where we've worked in house, you know, with what's available, and it's kind of led to where we're at now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But this is just a Microsoft Access database.
Mm-hmm. And nope. The other thing is, I don't know if you guys have an interest in being able the data you mentioned. Able to pull up reports of addresses you visited. If you want to be able to tie it in to the GIS system, be able to visually see the different places you guys are servicing and stuff, that part of the addressing fields will help you be able to locate those and map them out if you wanted to go down that road further.
Is that something we could do later?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I liked is that if he comes up with a location that system could identify that, maybe not show us on a map where it is, but it could red flag that, hey, this is, you've been out here three times within
the
last 2 months.
Yeah.
But instead of pulling up the map or having an overhead of it, it would just put a red flag there.
Yeah.
That's something that's been...
At this time, he can't even accept an address.
Yeah.
It won't even take an address and retain it.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's pretty much
scrapped. Yeah, I mean, so that's if there's, you know, a few different add-ons that you guys would be helpful for you guys on the supporting end of seeing.
Yeah,
as
well,
as
that from a maintenance standpoint, I mean, if we got a problem location where the property owners maybe need some education on what they put down down the sink into that grinder pump, that we might need to do some extra effort there on that current that specific area.
Yeah.
If we're pulling a grinder pump there every month or a month and a half.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can definitely, if it's, you know, have it say that if it's been here, been so many times in the past 6 months, yeah, pop up with that issue.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from the board?
How long is the system going to be good for?
As long as the computer's working. Access isn't going anywhere. As far as I know, it's a Microsoft product. You can always be upgraded, you know, if they need to upgrade to a new version. They're pretty compatible. I've had dealt with the newer one, so as long as he's updating it with new data,
Rob, just throw something in there. I know at Empire we've used a Access database along with Excel that tied together for a work management program since before 1995, and we're still using a variation of the same program, still completely functional.
Yeah.
It's been modified over the years, but it's it does everything we need to do.
Cool.
No other questions, comments? John, what action do we need to...
We would like to recommend that the board approve staff to move forward with this. And we would ask for your approval today.
Do I hear a motion from the board to approve staff to go forward with this?
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Josie, on that, do we need to get a new computer system, or is that something you'll be working on in the office, and then we're ready to bring it down?
What I discussed with Leo is, if, I don't know how purchasing, if we, like, we'll find something Staples, and he wants to get it through there. You know, I spec out what he can get, and he go pick it up, if you guys want to do that way, and then...
I was thinking we've got our best cards where we could shop around. If you kind of gave us some perimeter of, mm-hmm. of what we're going to need, we could go to Best Buy, we could go to Walmart, we could go to Office Max or Staples or something, just kind of see where we're at.
Yeah,
there.
I can give that to you guys, and then you guys can figure out where you want to get it from.
Because we're tax exempt also.
That'll help quite a bit.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I can give that, just give it to Leo or to you or...
Yeah, go ahead and send it to us, and we'll get a copy. We might, you might send it both to both of us.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, that
well, just yeah. send it to us.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
That's great. That's one thing.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the delinquent account write-offs.
Yeah, as recommended by Andy, our auditor, Liz has been going through these accounts. And these are foreclosures, no forwarding addresses issues. We're seeing quite a bit of this type of actions these days. But these are ones that we feel that we're not going to collect on, and we're asking approval from the board to write these off, and then we will take the appropriate security deposits and place those into the operation accounts.
Questions or comments by the board members? Do I hear a motion for recommendation to allow staff to move forward with moving these into write-offs?
I make the motion to write them off.
We have a motion. Do I have a second, please?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
See you, bud. See you,
John. I regrettably will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 7, old business. We have delinquent accounts, staffing and utility issues. This was tabled from June 15th, 2010.
Okay, I just, can I proceed just with the statement? Okay. It's in your packets, but I'll go ahead and just kind of go through it anyway. It's kind of our current building procedure as it stands today. And the following outlines, the current billing procedure now used by the sewer utility billing staff. Okay, number one, the monthly bills for sewer service are mailed out to the customer on the last day of the month. And that's give or take a day, but theoretically, I don't know how they do it, but they usually go out on the last day of the month. Number two, the payment for the sewer service bill is due on or before the 20th of the next month. That's where we're looking for that bill to be paid. Number three, payment not received by the 20th are considered delinquent, and a delinquency notice is sent out. Payments are also subject to a 10% penalty. So that computer, and help me, Liz, with this, but if that computer, if it senses that that has not been paid, then it automatically generates those letters out on the 20th. And those go out, those are sent out to the customer. Okay, the customer has until the last day of the month to correct the delinquency by paying the sewer service charges. So that bill's went out on the last day of the month, say in February. It's rolled around till March 20th. If they haven't paid it by March 20th, then a delinquency notice is sent out, and they have until the 30th or 31st of March to pay that bill. Okay? Number five, after 2 months of delinquency, a letter is sent out to the customer by the county's legal counsel, which states that legal action may be taken against him or her unless payment or acceptable arrangements to pay the charges are made. According to the billing staff, these letters have approximately a 10 to 15% success rate, more like 10%. You know, in this day and age, if I get a letter from a county attorney, that's going to get my attention, but I don't know what's going on out there, but it don't seem to get the attention that you think it would. John Hooker has worked with the billing staff in developing and sending out letters to those property owners who have unpaid balances on their own or tenants living on property under their ownership who have unpaid balances. This letter states that the sewer district will waive all penalties except for 10% of the current principal balance. And some of those penalties are pretty extreme, so that's a heck of a break right there. You know, most utilities are utilities writing you saying we're going to waive $500. You know, that's a pretty big carrot there, you know, for example. To date, the billing staff has collected approximately $8,700. Now, I think that's more than that now. I think it might be even close to $12,000. So the letters have had some success. And that round represents about 10% of the total amount requested at that time. It's a little more than that now. So that has generated some folks to do some things. To date, three liens have been placed on properties representing delinquent accounts. And remember, this letter was generated June 4th. So one lien has been successful. The other two are still pending. That might have changed. I'm not sure on that. Okay. The date of one property, to date, one property is in litigation with the sewer district regarding a delinquent account. That's the one we almost had a court date on, but the judge was out of town or couldn't make it. A copy of each letter currently sent to the customers is close for your review. And for the purpose of today's discussion, I would propose the following billing procedure, which will be more aggressive than the one currently used. This procedure will require increased management to oversee and monitor, but I feel the effects will be worth it. And this is just for recommendations, so, you know, don't eat me up too much, John and Liz. You guys are the pros on this, But number one, the bills for sewer services are sent out on the last day of the month, as they normally are. Number two, the payment for the sewer service charges are due on or before the 20th of the next month, the way they are now. Number three, payments not received by the 20th are considered delinquent, and a delinquency notice is sent out to the customer. The payment is now subject to 10%. It's now subject to a 10% penalty, which since then we've changed that.
Is that going to be a $5?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The customer will have until the last day of the month to correct the delinquency by paying the sewer service charges plus the penalty. If payment is not received by the last day of the month, staff will utilize one of the following options. A, begin procedures to have the water service terminated until delinquency is corrected for those customers supplied water service by Public Water Supply District Number 2 or Holiday Hills Public Service Utility, which that's another company now that's doing that for them. Now, Ascension Resorts, the water system, they have that other company now. Yeah, Liberty Water, which we have that in place, and it works very well. Liz uses it all the time. In the event that delinquency is occurring on a rental property, the legal owner of the property would be copied on all correspondence until the matter is resolved. That's one of the things we keep hearing, and I shared this with Liz, is that the people, it seemed like the biggest statement is that I was never notified until it got to $1,000. And in every case that I've talked to Liz about it, she can go to the file and pull out the letter. So I don't know what happened there, but we do send those letters out when that Paulson letter goes out. They get a letter there. Now, that's the only letter they're getting now. I guess when we get into that position to where we're shutting off the water, we're leading toward that way, they should be more in the loop because that's the biggest resounding excuse that we hear, probably more than anything, is that I was not notified. For customer supplied water service by a public water supply that the sewer district does not have a shutoff agreement with, those customers would be turned over to collection agency. And really, well, I guess what I should have said there is for those customers not supplied water by a public water supply that are on private wells, we have a collection agency that we could utilize. In the event of delinquency occurring on rental property, the legal owner of the property would be copied on all correspondence until the matter is resolved. I'm talking to two collection agencies, and both of them kind of had the same thing, that they're running about 25% to 30% success. We talked about a little bit there, they do have attorneys on staff that work with them, but when they have to bring an attorney in, they're going to keep 50% of what they collect. But the one lady said, getting a judgment and collecting is two different things there, too, so that's not always the best answer either. You know, the shut off the sewer deal would probably get more results than anything, but when you get into that realm. In the event that neither of these options has been successful within 60 days after the procedure has been commenced, a lien will be placed on the property. Well, what we found out in looking at the lien documents is that they're pretty straightforward documents. I mean, you fill in the blank. We've got the program there with Bob Dixon's office that's already in the county's called Laredo. You can pull up the legal description of the properties and stuff. So that's why we're filing liens pretty rapidly now, because it's not that hard to do. And then finally, pending approval of the Board of Trustees, legal action may be taken against any customer if the above-mentioned options have proven to be unsuccessful. That's our last big cannon, I guess you'd say, that, I'm sure that the water shutoff is probably, like Bob says, I mean, you're going to get some results there. With the collection agency on the ones that's on a private water supply, if that's not successful, we can still put lien on the property. We can get an anchor on that property. Ultimately, if we want to get that money turned around, if that keeps growing due to non-payment to where it meets the muster of possibly getting an attorney on it, then that's just a decision that we'd have to discuss and see if that's the right course to take. But
are you presenting this for approval?
No, I'm just kind of a history. Maybe somewhat, but I'd like to rework this because now we're finding that the liens are a lot simpler to deal with than what we once thought. I mean, I had Liz pull one up, and I said, gee whiz, I mean, is this all there is to it, off of the ones that we have filed. So, I feel that the lien, if that amount gets into, we've increased We've increased the security deposit on new accounts that's coming in. So, you know, there's a time frame when that lien would be appropriate to be placed on the property, and then we also got the $100 surcharge that we're recouping our money there too. But that's kind of what we're looking at, that 60 days. That's just a date that I threw out because we need to make it worth our while before we expend those funds. So 60 to 90 days, if these have not proved successful, then we would place the lien on the property after. And, you know, the only question I've got is the ones that are on a private water supply that we can't shut the water off. Maybe when that gets up around $100 or something like that, we go ahead and put a lien on the property. Enough to where we're not going to go in the hole. I wouldn't want to spend that money to put a lien on the property for $65, but maybe $100 or something like that. So I just submitted this as a basis of discussion. And I definitely look at what John and Liz have to say also. You know,
comments on this from the board? Thoughts? Nathan? Larry?
No, I have a question. Do we have more problem with owners' properties or tenants' properties?
No.
Tenants. We have both, but tenants is the biggest issue.
Can't we make the owner of the property take out the... I own properties. Mm-hmm. The sewer, the water and sewer in my name, I pay it. Yes, I get reimbursed for my tenants.
Well, I'm trying.
I don't see any reason that shouldn't be done, and I'm not so sure that's not the legal way to do it.
Well, that's exactly what we've been talking about, and that's what, you know, John is working with people now. That when they come in, it's not a policy yet, but he's trying to encourage them in all ways he can to do that. Liz is doing that on a daily basis. That is one thing that we're thinking about. And it's probably going to draw some flack, but that's the way it is. But that we do not deal with the tenant. We deal with the property owner. That account has to be in that property owner's name. They will get the bill. That's one option. Because it's impossible to keep up with those tenants.
Because I, as an owner, know if you put a lien or something and they leave, I'm probably going to end up having to pay it anyway.
The
so
lender,
I would rather know up front that it's being paid every month.
Mm-hmm. The owner really assumes all of that responsibility, whether they know it or not.
They do.
And that's what we try to educate them.
Liz and I had a lady this week.
Okay. Yeah, last week too.
Yeah.
Holiday Hills
from Arizona that owns a condo at Holiday Hills that is completely ballistic over $131. And I told her, she tried to argue with me, and I just tried to be as nice as I could and told her I didn't want to debate the point with her, but it was owed by her. And she said, well, I'm not going to pay it. And I said, well, you do what you need to do, and I'll do what I need to do. So, I mean, there's no sense in arguing with her.
You know, right.
She was tired. She was,
like,
and I mean, see, it wasn't that far. She said,
and we should go after the tenant. And I said, but we didn't put the tenant in there. It's your property.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, one thing that we run into is a lot of these properties are managed by management companies where the owner is in Arizona. They're in North Carolina. They're in California. And the renter comes in, and he's going to rent this property. He don't know who the owner is. He just went to XYZ maintenance company. So he's wanting to set up an account, start paying a sewer bill, but then we've got said, no, you need to take this information and send it back to the renter. So that's a logistical thing that we'll have to try to work out on that. But I still feel that the owner should be responsible. But there's some dynamics to that that ain't as simple in every case.
Well, if the account's in the owner's name anyway, it'll be a continuous service.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter to us when somebody moves in or out.
It won't matter. 3288 tomorrow.
That's going to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, we kind of started down that road because we want to be like other utilities, and you know, like where they have, you know, the renter or the owner can put it in their name. We tried that, and you know, we all think that would probably be a step forward if we just start dealing with the owner, and there's going to be a lot of them owners calling, and, but that's the way it is. I think over time, it'll just get to be an understanding amongst the maintenance companies, and just by word of mouth that that's just the way it's done. But,
if that's the way we say it's to be, that's the way it'll be, won't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Irregardless of...
And that's what
they
we
feel like
for.
Get their feelings hurt.
And I'll write a policy up on that and bring it back to the next board meeting if that's what we want to do. It's just dealing with those management companies and the owner deal. And we talked about that. You know, well, I've got a customer there. I've got a renter, and he's wanting to sign up an account and start paying that bill today. If he walks out of here, then how are we going to get that owner to get that information and sign that and send it back to us?
You know? You've only got to get it once.
But the owner and the management company will be here tomorrow. The tenant won't.
I agree with you. So I mean, I'm not saying it's a big issue. That's one of the ones we talked about, though.
Does Steve Creed still pay for all his places on it? Yeah. I don't know how well you guys know Steve, but he's a little bit of a problem child.
John could talk him into doing it.
He saw the light early in the game.
Rob, do you have any comments on this?
I got a basic question. Are we billing everybody that is utilizing our service?
Hopefully. Well, there's no way to really know a lot of these people until we start looking into the actual property addresses. And I have found some that weren't.
I find them every now and then.
That had never been connected.
Is there anything we can do to... It may not be by the next meeting type thing, but over the next course of 3 or 4 months, identify everyone that is hooked up to our service so that we can make sure that that address is being billed.
Well, there could be an audit done on that. It would take a lot of time to do it. We might be something we maybe want to contract out or something, but. Basically, we could go to the ones that we know. I mean, we canvas, you know, break it up, canvas each service area. And the ones that come out of that audit that we have questions about, go back and with the address, see if that address is on the billing computer. As far as seeing if that location, that specific location, and not the person, but that location, if it's connected up, yeah, we could. It could be done. It just take a lot of time to do it.
I don't want to create a whole lot of work for anyone, but I certainly think that we need to identify everyone that's using our services and to represent the people who are using it for their rates. And not to mention, we hook the service up, we need to be paid for it. We can't bill someone that we don't know is using it.
Is that something that could be contracted out without going through an engineering company when we're paying somebody $100 an hour?
GIS? Wouldn't that be the way to do that?
They wouldn't have any idea.
Input it into their system.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what we'd like to do. We've talked about that with our engineering. It's probably about $20,000-$25,000. But we would like to have the whole system on GIS and have everything identified. That could be done as part of that program, which... If you come into my office and you want to know if this property, where the sewer line is and where the service is, I can pull it up on my computer, print you off a copy. There you go, Mr. Gardner. You know, give or take 3 or 4 feet. You know, we're not guaranteeing the exact location, but here's where it shows. That's something we'd love to have that. And we've talked about
it's
it.
Probably just, something we should have. I mean,
well, I agree. In this day and age, there's just been so many projects and things going on, and it's going to take some money to do it, but I think it would be very beneficial to us.
Do we have the money?
Yeah, I think we have the money to do it.
How much do you think it costs?
Well, I just did talks. The number of $15,000 to $25,000 has been thrown around. That's been thrown around. That has been put on a piece of paper.
But that would be incorporating it into the GIS, where you could have a physical map.
You pull the aerial map up, and boom, boom, boom.
Now let me ask you another question. If say myself is on the county sewer and I get billed, so Rob Johns gets the bill from the county sewer department. Does anywhere on there tell what water district I'm a member of or if I'm on a private well?
Yes.
So we can't identify that.
It's filled out on your application if they fill it out properly.
But on the bill,
Well, it doesn't have to be on the bill. I'm just curious, in our database.
It's on the original application.
Yeah.
In our database, if you got a name that you're sending a bill to, you know what, where the water sources come from.
Not on the database. We'd have to go pull the record and see if it's on the application form.
Now, with that question...
No, that's on the central sewer or anybody else. You know.
Right. Yeah. Private wells, there's no way of knowing that, except for they don't have any public water, right?
Right.
Well, there's a place on the box to check whether it's private well... Water district, so and so. Also, the electric companies.
That's on the.
A lot of times
that's
they
on,
don't fill that out because they don't know.
That's on the app.
But we should we be able to pull it up by address and see if they're on a water district or if they're on a private?
I have Kevin over at Water District 2 made me a list of his customers, and so I have the street addresses and his customers listing, so I know who's on Water District 2.
Do we have a agreement with all the water districts that we? Have any customers in?
Yeah, we do. Well,
we have Rock 2 and Holiday Hills. Yeah. There's Aqua Source, which I can get on the phone half the time. It's in Jeff City, their office.
Well, that's correct.
And there's another one, I don't even know what it is.
The Aqua Source takes care of Acacia Club Road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it just from, and I'm not acting like I know anything because I don't, they're all questions that I need answered, but it would seem that if we could identify everyone who uses our, or who has the ability to utilize our service that's hooked up, then we would also need to identify all the water sources and get that intergovernmental agreement with the water sources, or whatever you call it, agreement with the water sources. And then all we have left out there to really put a lien on is the private wells. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically. That's all in theory. But if we can get the database completed enough to know who's on private wells, then that's our lien material. And if we know the water sources of the other ones, we just need to get the agreement with them to go turn them off. I think we're trying to come up with solutions for stuff that if we just start a little bit back at the beginning and go back and spend the next 6 months trying to get our system efficient, then we might not be having to worry about as much.
Sometimes... Not a lot, but we find, you know, there'll be three or four homes on one well. We find this just scattered everywhere. No water system, but it's just... In fact, we have some of that down here on White Highway.
There are common wells. There's common well agreements. There's community wells. But
yeah.
We're talking about centralized water systems where they can be shut off.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there may be... 5% of our customer base that we can't touch for whatever reason because we can't identify. But we got to get it down to an efficient level of identification.
Yeah, well, they're not public, though.
We can have all the policies in the world. If we don't know who's flushing in our system, it ain't going to make any difference.
And I don't know, to kind of go along with what Rob said, and anybody on the board is welcome to make comments on this, but I feel that we need to spend the time, effort, and money to identify these areas and take whatever steps are needed to be able to collect. And if it means we need some temporary staff for inventory work or whatever steps need to be taken, that's we kind of need to start getting the ball rolling on that.
I kind of like the GIS option there, really. I mean, that's something that we've talked about for a long time. We just haven't followed through on it because of everything else going on, but this would kill two birds with one stone there. You know,
we've talked about that for 3 years.
No, it's, you know, I got people coming in, buying a property, and I've got a big old giant map spread out on my desk and half of his trying to find their property. If we could pull that up and print it, you know, just one positive there.
We've got our company has a, they have a customer service database and then a separate mapping database that's tied to the outage management system, but it can be accessed just for read-only from our department. But you can go in on the map, and it's not as nice with it as a county GIS, but you can identify street names, pole locations, it gives you wire size, whether it's a transformer on the pole, a light, and if you click on a feature, it will tell you what customer that is,
mm-hmm.
what the meter number is, you know, their billing information. You can find a lot of information just right from the office if you have a street.
Some systems on a water sewer utility where if you're going to do work on a certain part of that system, you can basically highlight, or you can click on that location, it'll show you everybody's going to be affected by that work. And then it'll also print off a mail merge program that's incorporated in with the GIS where you have all the addresses. You can send out a notice to them.
But if you had that, like Rob was talking, you know, tied in with the GIS system, it would be a fairly simple matter. At some point, not in the next 2 months, but at some point down the road, you would be able to, like the customers that are on Acacia Club Road that are on Aqua Source, you know, those could be identified. So you, and you'd know that maybe this person was on a private well, but everyone else here was on public water. The same thing on public water supply district number two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be real easy. You could just look at the map and know exactly which one of our customers were on public water.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know it's a little bit of work, but I think it's going to save a ton of conversation and work in the future if we just spend the time and the money to get efficient on that process. Mm-hmm. It's got to be easier on you guys. I mean, at first it won't be, but in the long run it'll be.
I think it'll be great.
Who would have the expertise to tell us exactly what we need to use and what type of software?
Well, probably Great River Engineering.
Who else would be an option besides Great River?
HDR, I'm sure they've got capabilities, you know.
How about the cities talking to them, like Branson, regarding what they might? Are they pretty much up to speed on all that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what all they've got, to be honest with you. I know that they was working on some things. I know the county was trying to work on some stuff with the city. You know, I don't know.
You're talking about a collection program?
No. Talking about a GIS program that would have all the properties identified and then creating this would be verified on who all are connected to our system, what all properties are connected. Full-blown GIS program to show our utility and all that that entails.
Well, we have a GIS program here at the county, correct?
That's correct, but we need an overlay.
Yeah.
A GPS overlay to map it out on the sewer.
Man, we've had money in the budget for the last 10 years on trying to get the sewer GIS to go towards that.
Do we not have a list of every house that's connected to our sewer system? Do we have a list of everybody that's paid a connection fee?
Yeah, we got a list of all of that, but is it every house within that area? At one time, back a few years back, we had a list of non-connected, and it represented about 23 structures, and that was when Coon Creek hit. That hasn't been updated since Poverty Point. But I couldn't pull it up on the computer and show you all the connections.
At one time, I worked with GIS, and we spent quite a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, you did. Several months. Well, we got a bunch of dots or something. I don't know.
Sometimes there's a dot off it.
If we want to do this,
closer to Kansas City, there's right. Branson.
We need to get somebody in here that can do it.
Needs to be done a survey quality.
Let's do an excellent job and do it one time.
Well, question is, if you have a crew go out, like we were talking earlier, you know, whether they're, you know, part-time staff that could go out and do some customer verification. How would you know if that customer, let's say they're hooked up to public sewer, but they're not a paying customer. They've never been signed an application. How are we going to know that?
I guess, you know, checking manholes, looking at clean outs available. Some we're going to know is hooked up. The ones down in Casey Club and Mount Branch, we've got grinder pumps there, so the guys, we'll just have a history of those. I mean, I know some is not hooked up right now, you know, just by virtue that they never have been hooked up. But I don't know, general contractor.
That's not an option. You're talking about termination of service.
Or if it's not active or something, you know, try to find out who, backtrack and try to find out who the owner is.
But
I have to have a street address for every structure that we
would be
looking at.
So we don't know if we're billing everybody or not.
Yeah, you missed that part of the conversation. Well, I tell you, you know, we're charging off stuff, and I'm certainly not against charging off things that are uncollectible and that are real old. But if we can identify, first of all, get our database right, get the water agreement signed, then, and we put the liens on the private wells, we don't have this problem on foreclosures. We don't have this, if we bill the owners, we don't have this problem on the renter's turnover. We don't have a 180-day collection issue. We don't even have a 60-day if someone's living in it because they don't have service, except for unless it's private well. Then we put a lien on the property, and we'll get it eventually. That's just right there.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
Now, how easy that is, I don't know.
Well, if we get the right people on board to help us with the database and do the, and have an understanding about what we're trying to accomplish there, I mean, if you got good people on board with you, it goes a lot easier.
But we've got multiple steps here. If I'm, you know, it's been discussed that we would like to get, have a policy. Anybody speak up if you disagree that the property owners themselves would be responsible, for, ultimately responsible for the bill. That would be our customer.
I would like to see that.
The other thing is we need to get our customer base entered or overlaid on the GIS system so we know exactly who we have, where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only reason I brought up Great River is because they've got so much data on our system. They've done so many things on it that they've got a big database. When you look at requests for qualifications that we got on file, and just due to their all of their work that they've done on our system, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of the information is on the flyovers and all of those type of things. And some of that information is already in-house or already obtained. It's just basically the field work of going out and then making a decision whether this structure is hooked up or not. But we have talked about trying to have our system, on some kind of format to where we would not have to keep pulling plans out of file cabinets and all that kind of stuff for a few years now.
Nathan, do you have any comments on this?
No, thoughts? I've liked what everybody said. I do concur that we need it. As bad as I hate policies for the sure fact that policies preempt dealing with people, that I think we ought to have a policy that the owners are responsible and eliminate the tenants, since it is their property that will be leaned against.
We may have a problem with that starting out because they don't want to wait until their tenant's lease is over, because they want to put in a lease if they are, you know, raise the rent or if they'll be reimbursed. Because I know we've had a few that have changed it over into their name once the lease is out and the new tenant.
What would be a good solution to that? Just if we established a policy that all new accounts or new customers would have to be the, it's not a good way to word it, but would be the landowners, property owners.
Do establish the, in my mind, I would establish the policy and dated August 1st or October 1st or January 1st, and within 1 year, everybody's got to convert, because most leases, if you lease, would be a year lease.
Well, that's
and
good
at that
point.
Time, they could adjust.
Good point.
What do you think?
Or if someone comes in and builds a new fourplex or an eightplex tomorrow, that's what it would be.
Yeah. Right. New customers, that's it.
How would we implement a policy such as that?
Basically, let me draft a policy up, and I can run it through Mr. Paulson and bring it to the board. I can get copies out to you prior to the board meeting. If you want something changed, then let me know. If not, I'll bring it to the next meeting. And we'll adopt it.
Then
we'll send a letter out to all the rental properties over the course of the next few weeks and notify them of the policy change, why we're changing the policy to this format. And you have a year from this date to convert over. And
this place is going to be full of people. Now, I'm for that, but this place is going to be full of people, and I really think before we implement the policy, we need to have a true discussion on the obstacles that we're going to have to overcome on this deal. That's just my opinion, because we're going to have this whole place full of people when this goes out, and We got to be able to take a stance unitedly on something.
Yeah, yeah. We tied the thumb screws down here a while back, you know, and we had some people, as you remember, coming over to Hollister and stuff. It wasn't a great deal, but we had them, and you know, we start shutting water off, and we start getting more aggressive, which we're not opposed to that in any way, shape, or form. But there will be more stuff happening.
You're either going to shut off water, or you're not going to collect the bills.
Well, obviously, looking at the charge offs.
Yeah, I agree. So we need to do that, and we need to not build where there's at least wherever we can not build, unless it's an environmental problem, where there isn't central water. And there's got to be a way to get the central water district's customer list, at least compare our list with their list. There's a lot of possibilities of things that can be done.
She audits that. I mean, she does.
I think Liz said she had a copy of Public Water Supply District Number 2. I think we still have things to work on with AquaSource, mm-hmm. to try to get an agreement with those folks.
Yeah.
But if we can get a simplified agreement with Public Water Supply District Number 2 that could be used as a model, and I think we actually have a model for the possible agreement.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Public Water Supply District, too.
And we can make it easy to map who's on and who isn't on. If we took a customer list with the address, the physical address, right now using Excel, you can take the numbers off the front and arrange by sort data by street. And on streets, you can have a list of everybody on the street that's a current customer of either you or the water district. And where you have questions, you can find out whether they're on or not on. But we should have all of that information available to us that we can organize, I would think.
I think the policy with a year notification period on the property owners being responsible for the bill is probably defensible. But we do need to have our, as Rob says, have our ducks in a row.
It may take 6 months before we, you know, I mean, there's seriously some efficiency issues that we gotta come up with. But I think you gotta take step one, but we can't be taking step one next year. We gotta be taking step one tomorrow.
Yeah.
And getting this whole thing built. But I agree with Rob.
But it seems like that you're gonna have whatever steps we take that are defensible and sensible, you're going to probably have the support of the board, because I think every person here wants to make this problem go away as much as possible.
Well, we're going through the sheet that Liz handed out, the long one there, kind of gives a history that she could go through, basically, of all of those out there that we're running around. And the ones that we've got liens filed on, we're going to file more liens to get those secured. The ones that are paying what they can, what they say they can, and the ones that just won't respond at all. And so we have stepped up the lien to cover these and anybody in the future. Like I said, Pat Barnett has copies of both agreements now, and hopefully we can get something resolved there and get an agreement that works better for the staff, similar to what we've got with Holiday Hills, which we use every day. I mean, the one we got currently with the water district, basically I have to draft a report based on Liz's information. I have to give that report to John Hooker.
It's unworkable is what it is.
Who has to verify my information I give him. I walk around the corner and I give it to John. The guy's turning the water on 24/7, you know. I'm going to have a guy out there at 2:30 in the morning. Somebody's trying to push a check at him. He don't know. We could develop a list of what's owed. We don't know what's owed the water district, so we're probably not going to collect that. And then there's just several other issues that really make it tough.
Well, first of all, I mean, in my endeavors at the bank, I unfortunately know some of these people that come up on these charge-off lists, these foreclosure lists, etc. They don't care. They're letting their house go back. They're not going to care how big you tell them their sewer bill is. They don't care if you multiply it times 20% every month. Yeah. They don't care. You can put all the liens on the houses you want to, and they don't care. Now, granted, the bank that takes the house back will have to pay it if you get the lien put on it, chances are. But you're not going to get anywhere just by putting liens on something. That's our last resort effort. We got to get these water agreements done and done very quick. You know, at least we have to identify every one of these water districts that we have sewer in, and at least know who we have left to get this agreement done with. Right now, we know we have some agreements, but I would like to see as a board member, these are the agreements we need to get, and this is who we're actively talking to right now, so that we know that we have our geographical area taken care of by these water agreements. The private well, sure, we'll put the lien on the house, but just think from these people's standpoint. A lien on their house means nothing to them until they go and sell it.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
They don't have to pay you another dime. If they own the house for 20 more years, they don't have to pay you another dime. You got your lien out there. And if they're 65 years of age, they'll say, you can get it when I'm dead. I mean, that's the mentality we're working with.
Oh, I agree.
With these
not
people.
Being able to turn on the faucet will get their attention immediately.
Absolutely. If the shower won't work.
If Larry Gardner is delinquent for 60 days, do you know what, if I'm on a public water system, do you know that? The way it is right now.
I can look your address up.
No, but I mean, if the delinquent ones, can you tell me which are and which aren't?
If I looked at them and saw their address, I could, yeah.
Okay.
But there's nothing in the database that has that next to their name. Just your knowledge.
I don't think it, no,
it's just your knowledge,
system.
Right?
Yeah, just our
so
knowledge.
So if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, we don't have that information.
We ought to have a column that says which water district. And
that is an
account. Range it by water district or no water district.
Yeah.
So it tells you Aqua, it tells you Taney County number 2, tells you Taney County.
We have that.
Three.
It's in the file, but it's just not on the computer.
Is that something that could be included in a database?
I thought you said a while ago that it might or might not be on the file if the people didn't know.
Yeah, information, all you got to do is put it in a column on Excel and spit it out.
Well, when I get a new application, I always make sure all that stuff. That's just for a new.
Well, John, it sounds like you've got some ideas to move forward with.
And I personally think when we shut the water off, that takes care of that security deposit. Now you got to pay another one to get it turned back on.
I agree with you. Yeah, you know, the thing about this, when we go to shutting off water and we the liens, and I agree that's the last resort, and that's kind of why it's in the last of the chain there, but... when you start dealing with people like that on these things, even sending out the letters and all the comments that comes in, you need to be able to stay with it. And you need this, you know, this is, the people that call in are difficult sometimes, but this work is not difficult if you can apply yourself and come in every day and sit down and look at these and figure out the way to get that money that day.
What's the other headings here were staffing and utility issues in addition to the delinquent accounts. What can we talk about on staffing issues?
Well, that was one recommendation that I was looking at is creating a position of billing manager and then possibly hiring another, you know, where the billing manager could deal with these issues. They could deal with these issues and I'm there, you know, to cover them if they need help or whatever. Over time, they're going to get very knowledgeable of how to apply these things once we get these things in place. John and I were involved in this, but then we're called off on a project issue. We're called here, we're called there. We get involved in something and we get away from it. And then it starts to slip a little bit. Liz has done everything she can, but she don't really have the authority to hammer down on something that needs to be made a decision on. This person, where John's a utility manager, John controls everything on the utility, and out there this person would be in the building, this would be their focus, is to send out the letters, send out those documentations for water shutoff. I mean, when you go shut off a water supply, there's a chain of letters that have to go out. And by statute, you have to document that those letters were sent out and what dates they were sent out in case you get a lawsuit over the issue.
How many people do we have that currently pay or don't pay, who are currently billed?
2018.
2000 and how many?
18. That's what the...
Yeah, last run was 2018.
So we know we have 2018 customers, and we may have more people that need to be added to the list. Out of the 2018, how many are on Central Water?
Well, that's what we're talking about. We wanted the database to come up with that and figure out that, because we don't know. And not only that, we don't know what water district they're on either, so hopefully...
Well, Acacia Club, that's a big area. I mean, down in there, if we could... That water district's pretty... I don't know if we, you know, by state law, they have to have an agreement with us.
Right.
I sure thought we had one.
Or we can take them to circuit court and get one. But that's Aqua or whatever. We have Taney County Water District number 3. What other water districts do we have? Holiday Hills.
I don't think we have any in 3.
2. We have 2.
No, it's all in
2. 2.
Taney County Water District number 2, Holiday Hills, Aqua. Is there any other water company?
No public water supplies. We've got some big subdivisions, but they're not public water supplies.
So we compare those lists with their lists and see how many are in common, and we know how many are on. And a huge percentage are going to be Taney County Water District number 2, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I said earlier. I mean, that's where our delinquencies are at, is in Lake Shore and Mount Branson.
John, you see that the...
Do we have subdivisions that have their own water systems?
Well, like Wilderness RV out of 165, Audrey Anderson's deal. Gobbler's Knob is another one. And Audrey, I think one time we talked to her, and she said something about her agreement with her tenants that she couldn't shut the water off or something. Did she ever say something to you like that?
No. But she tries to help us get paid.
Yeah. But that's something that we could approach her again about. I thought there was something else we could talk to her about.
Oh, and they have a way thing. They have their own water system. When that bills out.
John, is it? I think the consensus is that we're going to start dedicating some of our meetings to just to these issues, the business end of it, because we've had these issues for years and haven't, because of construction details, we haven't had time to address these.
And yeah, I mean, we've touched on them, but we haven't had like a meeting dedicated to the utility. Utility's always kind of taken back seat to all these projects.
And it was discussed before, too.
Can we give Liz the authority to proceed with some of this stuff? I mean, when you guys get busy,
Liz knows
someone
I'll
needs
back,
to.
You know, and I trust Liz with anything. I'm just saying that she hasn't been put in the position and given that authority by the board, the sewer utility board, that she is that person.
Could you bring back a letter of recommendation on what you would recommend?
Yes.
Does that...
With a job description.
Yeah, I can do that. Job summary, job description. But, we started out, and John, he sent his letters have been successful to some degree. But you need to be able to devote a lot of time to this.
Well, and that's what, I'm speaking on my behalf now. That's what I think you guys need to do. But I'm very new to this, and I'm speaking a little bit ignorantly when I say this. But I think if we can devote some time and energy into making your life easier down the road, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And as we bring other water projects on, before we hook anybody up, I think we ought to have the water district, the agreement in place with the water district. Now, if it's private, it's a different game. We'll have to worry about that then. But
right.
If we're going to do another project, then we need to have that agreement in place before we hook the first sewer up.
Yeah.
That way, we're not doing it retroactively. And we're not managing our database off of an incomplete application process that gets turned into us.
There's people out there, too, that companies that do, you know, utility mapping, not sewer specific, but different, that could work, help on this database you were talking about. But all the ideas that we're talking about today, none of us expect you to do what you've been doing plus all this additional work. We realize
we had, you know, the grinder pumps that we maintain and we don't maintain. We had 800 stickers that we needed to put on control boxes. And with everything going on, let it take about a year and a half to get those put on the control boxes, man. I mean, you know, it's just
a month.
That's a utility. Huh?
Not a month. Over a month.
Oh, my God. I just wanted to know how many pumps we had out there, and I think it went over 6 months. But I mean, we just so much stuff going on. I mean, you try to get on a project like that, and you can't help but get dragged away. That's why I was thinking, I mean, if we wanted to come up with a scope of services
about what we want to do is solicit that scope of services and have some companies come and give a presentation. How would I address that? What can we do for you? I mean, it's a big deal.
I don't want to cut HDR out of nothing.
I'm just looking at some of the things we've already talked about. I mean, we could do that. But, yeah, that would, that's something we've talked about for a long time that would be really beneficial to us.
I think we just need to move forward in a manner that will...
It could be on the county website to where a property owner could go on the county website and pull that data up and look at it right there on our website.
But obviously, we don't have the manpower to complete it.
Well, so we could try it. We could have all the best intentions in the world.
You mean for the GPS?
Yeah.
We don't have
we could run equipment. Up and down the road.
Right, and as far as even doing a physical inventory, obviously, we don't have the manpower to complete it, or we would it would be done by now.
Yeah.
I would think that would be the correct statement.
Yes.
And so you are you can maybe you can get a proposal put together.
Yeah, let me
that
go
along
the scope
with
services.
Scope, you know, along with the staffing issue we were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I can do that too, and I can bring it to the board and we can look at it. And I can write a draft copy of this policy, not that we have to approve it until we are all make sure we play devil's advocate.
Yeah, give us something to scratch on.
I will. Yeah, and but, we can play devil's advocate with it and make sure. Like, I mean, I'm like you guys. We're as strong as the board is behind us.
We're all behind you.
We're all one.
We just want to make sure we're all in the same lane.
Yeah.
Yes.
In this meeting and out of this meeting.
Have you really looked at the last sheet on this? And what the penalties are against what?
Is owed? Yeah. One customer had $200,000 in penalties.
That's what Andy's been bringing up all the time, and what one option we're looking at there. And John, he's going to do that a while back, and I kind of looked at it as a carrot, but I see the light. And we're thinking about these penalties that are just outrageous. You know, if they are still collectible people to go after, that we waive that and then take the principal times 10%, which through John's interaction with Mr. Shinawick, they feel that that's collectible in the court. Then we take the principal times 10%, and then we start adding $5 to that as per the policy that we approve. And get, that's what's got us way up there with this non-collectible is this penalty stuff.
Well, when we have 2,000 customers, the non-collectibles are only $77,000 in real money. But when we have 10,000 customers in the future, then we got real issues, and it becomes seriously unmanageable. We leave a lot of money on the table if we don't get it done today. It's really not about today; it's about tomorrow. That I feel that we need to. So we should quit being redundant on our. I mean, the collection process is like, you know, you guys are doing a good job of what you got, but it's like digging the Panama Canal with a shovel versus a,
we need some caterpillars in there.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, you know, I've always felt I greatly appreciate the board's support on these issues. You know, the board's always been there for us. And you know, the GIS thing, and that would be something that would be a great tool to have for us and not only, you know, locate the customer base too. But, you know, our audits have always come back good. We've been very accountable. We self-audit. We welcome audits. There's a lot of good things happening down there, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, but we do have these issues here that we need to get a better handle on, and that's what we want to strive to do.
Sure. Right, and I think that's one of Rob's points is things are building up on us now, and our customer base keeps expanding, so the problem is going to compound, and now it's if we can be handled at this level, it'll prevent a lot of headaches down the road.
We've got a ton of money in the future to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
So you've got your homework before the next meeting.
Yeah. Do we want to do this the next meeting or next utility meeting? And I think, to me, time is kind of of the essence, but, I mean...
Probably.
I'd like to pass the resolution.
The resolution as to which part?
Well, the policies.
I don't... If we've got something in the packet... or ahead of time to look over, I'm not sure that the board would have an issue with that. The other part would probably be better served at the utility meeting just because it's going to take some time.
Well, I'd like to work up a good scope of services on the GIS thing. And I can get a policy together working with John and Liz on that we want to all be on board with it for sure. then I think we ought to have her statement down, you know. But there was another policy that we talked about at the last board meeting that was in regards to the collection or repayment for the disconnect and reconnect. And I think Bob might have brought that up with William. But there was, of course, we're going to terminate water service for non-payment of the sewer bill, but also in that, all agreements that I've ever seen with other communities and ours, that we also capture the cost to terminate and then reinitiate water service plus the lost revenue that the water district suffered. Was there a policy that we wanted to write that identifies those other costs also? And I was going to have something written here for you.
It would be good, I think, that if we're going to renegotiate a contract with Public Water Supply District Number 2 or approach that, that we get more detail on or get closer to having that contract finished before we actually have, we specify a dollar amount in that policy.
Well, I'm with you there, yeah.
Chris said they charge $50 turn on, turn on.
The water district.
I can testify to that, $50, you're right.
Well, that kind of standard.
I have water to a shop building that's on public water. I have a well for my house. My wife didn't pay that bill to my shop, and my water got turned off. And you're right. It cost me $50 to get that locker.
Thank you.
Make sure that's in the notes.
So is
that. But I took it out of her heart.
So did that cover your disconnect and reconnect to $50? Okay. Well, I kind of like a copy of the Forsyth agreement is in your packet in here, and it's kind of that 8.5 by 11 sheet. That's their agreement with Water District 2.
As opposed to 4 or 5 pages.
Yeah, well, the last one we got, 2 attorneys wrote it, and we've got to block it out and try to put the paragraphs together to understand where that's going, you know.
Mainly Mr. McCaffrey put it together, the attorney for the Water District.
It was a very well written document, you know, but...
Well, are we good on that subject? Ready to move on?
I think so. I think we are.
Because it looks like you're under the new business, other business, administrator reports. That's all blank.
Sorry.
On the agenda here,
uh-huh.
New business, other business, administrator reports. Do you have anything specific, John?
Basically, I'm just going to bring you guys up to speed on Meadow Ridge, Rise of Hills, and that thing. I think that would be definitely something if they wanted to come over and be part of our customer base, that would be a real beneficial project to us. And according to Mr. Tarvin, Mr. Hansen stated that they would entertain doing an agreement with us, and since they control the water system out there, that they would shut off water for non-payment. So, I mean, that's really a deal that is hard to turn away from.
Yeah. I think the...
Horizon Hills, Middle Ridge, is that development?
Wasn't there a question there about where that tied into?
Well,
the line is to ownership.
Well, we'd be going into Roark Valley Sewer and Water, who owns that big line in the valley down there.
Okay.
And we'd have to have an agreement through them. And then they, in turn, have an agreement with Branson, but Branson don't own the line yet. They do, so our agreement would be between us and them as well. I see it.
Are they going to be presenting next?
I don't know. We're going to meet and see what's up, and see what we can put together. Evidently, Joe's kind of on board with them, and so we're working together on that.
So that other line is owned by, would that have been something Steve Redford put in? Is that who that was?
Actually, Roark Valley Sewer and Water paid for that, as far as, and Ozark's Clean Water Company is involved in it also. Victor Rosetta built it, right?
So I thought there was a question before as to they didn't think that
we
could afford to tie it to it.
Well, you have to deal with Gary Hanlon. You know, he's the controlling.
Any more questions for the administrator? Board member reports. Rob?
Not here.
No.
Larry? Nathan?
No, sir.
I would like to make one brief comment, and then we'll move on. It looks like we're scheduled for an executive session issue. John, go ahead.
No, go on.
At our last meeting, there were several members of the public that were allowed to comment during the agenda items instead of under the public comment section. And as a board member, as vice chair, I see this as titled public comment. That means that if they have an opinion or an idea they want to state, present to the board, it's a comment. It's not a period for debate. Or if they have a question about a policy, this isn't the time to raise it. That needs to be brought to the staff. And if it needs to be discussed in the board meeting, it can be put on as a separate agenda item, and we can have all the pertinent information before the meeting starts. So it's my intention that we will have no more of those incidents in the future. If the public wants to comment, they can address us with whatever opinions or ideas or thoughts they have, but we won't be having a discussion of policy or procedure unprepared.
That's what I kind of look for, is that public comment. They come in, if they raise questions, the board wants staff to look into it, write a report or whatever, bring it back to the next meeting, we can do that. But when they come in and start shotgunning you, and you don't, you know, it's tough.
It's not effective. I mean, it doesn't, all it does is lengthen the meeting. Does
I totally concur, and I think that if we enforce that, then they'll be forced to set big a deal with them. They can put it on the next meeting's agenda. We'll be more than happy to hear it at that point. But just getting up out of their seat and raving and ranting for 20 minutes is...
Had you talked to the chairman? I noticed in reading the minutes that he said that he thought they had the right to comment.
Larry, like I said, this is my intended approach. Do I hear a motion for a 5-minute recess?
I'll so move.
I'll second it.
A motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Then we'll go into executive session. Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Well, it's good to let you go. I'll get you back after 5 minutes. You got center, so we'll get you center. I like your land deal, though. We don't want to mess your land deal up.
What land deal, buddy?
I need to deal with Ken Barth. I don't know. I'm going to watch out. You know, he might get skinned, man. He's a good skinner, too.
What deal on Ken are you working
with? Well, we're going to get 10.
Oh, 10. I'm sorry.
B3?
Yeah.
BB. He said, what's the size of those parcels? 3/4 an acre?
Well, it varied a bit, too. We'd like to talk to them about how far they're approaching their 300-foot
wide. He might be motivated.
Oh, he is. Very humble.
Yeah, he's about 40 grand.
A lot. Yeah. He's got a great ready, doesn't he? Pat ready? He got a pretty fly.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think what we was going to ask you guys, if you think that we ought to have an appraisal done on them, or how we should move forward.
I don't know what our policy is, but appraisal is going to be a waste of money, in my opinion, but I don't know what our policy is.
Really.
Because it's...
If it could be documented to a taxpayer that we
due diligence
in some manner, that's all we've got to say.
Well, you know, if nothing else...
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do I have a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Rob Johns, yes.
Larry Gardner, yes.
Nathan Easley, yes.
Ron Daniels, yes. We are in executive session.
shell of the building, you only look at about 1,350 square foot for 6,7200, whatever you build. But then we had, John has also talked about the possibility of having a large enough boardroom for sewer board meetings or anything else.
Yeah,
and before we ever come up with a building, I mean, can design it the way we want it, we need to know how it's going to, what future uses are going to be.
My main thing on that was, you know, just bay for the trucks. Get them in out of the weather, man. And Leo's shop, which has to be sealed off because that's our computer problem. Part of our computer problem is that dust is, it's invaded his computer. Where it's just, that computer, if we buy it, it's going to have to be somewhere else. But where we'd have the bays for the trucks, we'd have a shop for Leo in the grinder pump repair area, an inventory area. And then an office for him, his computer, and he can do his paperwork in a separate office. And then a break room. That's where I'm at. Then I said, you know, we'll probably need to discuss later what the board might want to do. Do we want to have a meeting room or a multi-purpose room where we can have our meetings over there? I mean, I like this. It don't matter to me.
Well, I think I would love to just walk out of my office, walk 100 yards, and be at the meeting.
Yeah.
Not even start my truck. But the reason, if I remember right, I liked when it was downtown Hollister because it was a, you know, 2 mile drive. I could, you know, be there in 5 minutes. But the thought was, at the time, for the board to move it over here because of, you know, it was more accessible for the paid staff, which, you know, you're dragging 50 pounds of equipment over here. I mean, it's not quite as bad now, I think, since the lunches have went away.
Yeah, that's true.
So, it was supposed to be more centrally located, but there hasn't been that many people come over here. We probably had less people at the meetings since we started coming over here. I mean, other than when something's going to bid or we have resident complaints from White Highway, I mean, there used to be more people at Hollister meetings, I think. You know, they just drifted in.
Maybe it's more accessible or something.
More accessible for the people that were interested. So I really don't care. I mean, it's Larry lives over there. Rob works over there. Lives over there.
Well, I mean, are you going to need a shop somewhere off different anyway?
Well, now,
we'd like to get into an area where our shop is at F Highway is the farthest away from anything we have.
We're trying to get property that's centrally located to our operations.
Do you own property on F Highway?
No, we're in part of the county owns property out there.
How big a building do you need?
Probably at least a 60 by 100.
Our thing out at F Highway is basically just a garage behind the big shop.
We just have a 24x30 garage. You know, with our shop in it, we have no place for our vehicles.
The one thing about Bart's property there is he did that as an industrial subdivision 3, 4, 5 years ago. And it has public sewer. It's on city water. And there's three-phase power there if needed. It probably wouldn't need that. But everything's right at the front property line.
Yeah.
And it's accessible. The only drawback is the entrance is right across from Hollister School, so if you're trying to get in or out when school's in session, when school's going in or coming out, access can be limited because that's the same thing our construction trucks have to deal with.
Yeah.
But you can go Coon Creek Road, get back to Kirbyville, back this way, or you can go down BB and get to the... So it is a fairly central location.
Yeah, we looked at some places on Mount Branson, but there in the mornings and in the evenings, you got major problems.
It's a worse problem there than it is on BB.
Yes, sir.
How much is he asking for the land?
For 2 lots, which it'd take to build a big enough building and yard, he wants $80,000.
How big are the lots?
I think they're about 3/4 of an acre. They're 150 feet wide and however deep that is.
Right.
Backs right up to Empire's property. We've not got down to fine tax.
Sure.
You know, we're just kicking it around, but the building, you know, the building's really not as expensive as I thought it would be. Of course, that's insulated and unfinished. No heat, no wire.
Right. No wall, interior walls.
No interior walls.
I think one of our big concerns was it, like this boom truck, that we've got because of the Highway Y project. I mean, it's just sitting out now.
Oh,
so it's a $200,000 truck, $170,000 truck. And it's just setting out in the weather.
What do you think the total project cost me, John?
What do we think?
We're figuring about just a little under $300,000 for the building project.
I think it'd be less.
But we're also
talking about... Well, about what you paid or...
Yeah, doing some of the work ourselves or having it kind of done in phases, you know, like the sheetrock could be. We could get the shell and then get some of it built to work in, then we could sheetrock some of it as we go, hire somebody independently to do that. There's some options we're just kicking. We figured about $300,000. Was that like Christmas wish list, $300,000?
Yeah, that would probably be pretty high. The building was about... It was only around $80,000, or less than $80,000.
For the shell?
Yeah. $96,000 for 60 to 120. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was around $80,000 for the building and $80,000 for the land.
Is it advantageous, or does it, for it to be that far away from where you all are?
Well, see, my situation, I mean, we're in the center with White Highway and then all of our stuff we have on the western side. For us, it's not going to really have a problem. I mean, as far as paperwork, different things like that, emails, faxes. The guys are over this way anyway with those RVs. If they had anything, timesheets, whatever to bring by the office.
So the staff working there, they're making a hoot.
No,
because you go all the way out to Showboat Branson Bell, is that right?
Huh?
District goes all the way up to Showboat Branson Bell.
Really short visitor center.
So basically, that's the far end of the system, and then just back to Y Highways, this end of the system. And I think probably most of the service calls are Acacia Club Road.
All our pumps are in that area.
Right.
Poverty Point, Acacia Club Road, or Lakeshore.
Anyway, there's a grinder pump up.
Grinder pump area.
We have very little. Very seldom do we have anything on the gravity sewer.
So if they. Just as a point of contention that if they go out on a trouble service call tonight and they need extra parts and material, they're going to be closer to it at a central location, because we looked at the highway barn on Mount Branson, but the county commission needed it worse.
Sure.
So that might be a place. But that general area would be a lot more advantageous to us as far as from an operational standpoint.
Well, if they're there, they can pop up along Knox Avenue and shoot back up to grab a piece and then roll back over there or something, you know, instead of run clear out to F Highway and really all the way back across to F.
You're just looking for input on whether it's board is interested or not?
Whether we want to approach this direction. The reason we need two lots is everything that he's got there. You've probably driven by there and seen those large buildings. Well, between each building, there's only 50 feet. And you have a big door on one side that's accessible, but with a big vehicle on the other side, it's almost, and then the guy could come in there and you have 25 foot of your property in between buildings. So if he wanted to come in there and put a fence up, that would put the other side of your building basically useless as far as 14 foot overhead door.
And then we need a little bit of yard area for materials, and we've got the connexes and different things.
So I'd be in support of, pursuing the project. Getting more information.
I would agree with that, but I also would like to see, a decent cost estimate from start to finish, what it's going to cost to not only buy the land and do the shell,
we can get
but the finished cost estimate. I would like to see, even if it's just a rough schematic, just to see what you're going to, how you're going to utilize it.
Sure.
And if there's any operational cost savings involved in it, I'd like for you to think about that and let me know what it would be, besides just general conversation.
Okay. Because, if you think about it, you'll be able to, you do an analysis of it, that you're going to save on mileage and you're going to save on man hours.
Well, see, my men report over there every day instead of here.
Right. So you should be able to generate some savings there.
Yeah, just through operational efficiency.
I think it has mileage savings.
Well, just brainstorm about it and put that on paper so that it gives an offsetting justification, too.
Yeah.
One thing that's good, about Y Highway, I do have a man that lives right there. That's going to be his job every morning to run those stations in Y Highway. He can do that before he comes for it. Instead of somebody backtracking all the way over here to do that, that's going to be his primary function in the morning. Keep that Except on his days off.
Well, that's true. Yeah, sure.
Larry, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I'm not against it.
Nathan?
Well, the cost savings would be substantial, and I think it's pretty foolhardy to have $140,000 pieces of equipment sitting out under the weather.
Well, we have that. We have our Kubota. We have a box-eyed truck that in the wintertime never wants to start because it's not real new. And at some point in time, we're going to end up with a pump truck. We're going to have to get into that business, whether we want to or not, just for our own use.
So, John, you want to start getting that information together?
Yeah.
I think today we just wanted to let you know what we were doing.
Just see if anybody even wanted to proceed farther on or not.
Well, I think it's no different than our conversation about your billing deficiencies. I mean, these tax dollars aren't guaranteed forever. So, I mean, we got to get our efficiencies up to scale so the thing can stand on its own eventually. And if this is part of it, then this is part of it. But it needs to be part of the master plan when you put it in writing to us.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure you can incorporate that.
Yeah. We can work that all in together.
Okay, are we? I hear a motion to go ahead.
No, I want to bring up about this pickup. Why are you wanting a diesel? Cummins or Duramax?
Having probably better mileage with the diesels than I'm having with any of
them. Are they? Is the cost difference? Does it pencil out when diesel is 40 cents higher than gasoline?
Yeah, I'm running, I think Deb's running between 19 and 20 miles a gallon. Those half-ton pickups, gas motors I had, were getting around 10 to 11.
Can I interject there?
What?
Interject something. I know the life expectancy of the diesel engine is much greater. Typically, your water pumps, they don't run as hot as your gas engines do. They fall under slightly different emission standards, so you don't have as much heat. I don't know if it's two or three times as long. They'll typically last without any major internal work. But
I mean, my reasoning was, and I don't know the stack you have, there's a lot of people that can't drive a diesel. And I just wondered if it was cost effective to pay that extra price up front for diesel when fuel is higher.
Every one of my drivers that wants CDL license.
I say they know what to do. So it's just, I was curious.
Do we hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second?
I will.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Nathan.
Thanks, Joel.
That's a good time. The labor is one or two points a little long, but I think that we repeated ourselves a few times, but I think you've got hurt.
This would have been a 10-minute conversation. And eventually, it's like a
That's what I see.
It'll be cold weather.
We got some aging systems.
That's what the deal is. I think we'll be working long handles when we get out of there. Let's just start it.
So what's...
Yeah, that's 1 month.
But we could backfill.
Well, I remember the meeting before last, we said if you guys were...
Or, you know...
Well, you have to have more than 500
or 600 project.
Punch list.
It goes long. Well, yeah, it adds up quick.
Yeah. You can put a $1,000 ridge on for, you know, 300 or 400 times.
Yeah.
And, or that's, I don't know what it's going to cost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're in the building right now.
You know, I think our whole goal is to
rock and
run. Plus inspectors.
That'd be better.
We don't know the details. I don't know the details. But we need to loot these. We need to get 4,000 or 5,000 people on this.
You're working in three places.
We did without building a whole bunch more sooner.
We are. No reason. That was on one of our wish lists here pretty recently. And because it's a lot of convinced customers, it's gravity. I mean, other than infiltration, there's no maintenance. They send you a check every month and you pay them. Then they run into you. The previous homeowners association decided that, you know, they didn't want to pay
$32. Yeah. So they just, and now they got a cash call on their lap and they're ready to dance.
Yeah.
They got a huge cash call.
Yeah. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
I'd like to see without having to spend $10 million to get 200 customers.
Yeah.
Or 50 customers or whatever it needs to be. You know, see some efficiency on the other side. Get our projects under construction done.
One of the things that, of course, I was going to make, if they need to hire temporary help to do some of this mapping or whatever, or customer verification, hire some college kids or
figure something out.
Some kind of intern that's not a $100 an hour engineer. Don't need an engineering degree to go catch sewer customers.
We just need a good quality database. Thank you. It's not our job to tell them how to do it. It's our job to tell them what we want.
So this is what we want. This is what we need to do.
And that's where we get tied up in impulsive and water drag us into the bathroom. I'm like, hey, listen, I don't care how they do it. That's their job to figure out the best efficient way to do it. I just want
to. I told him way back then. I talked about some office. I would like to see, because he said, you don't have GIs.
I'm going to go ahead and I'll take the rubber out, Susie, and I'll take my bag, and then I'll pull the rig around.
That shows our customers. It shows what is type of service line, whether it's low pressure or gravity, and the size of the line. Whether he has a grinder pump, he said, "What would you do?" He said, "That's
We need to think about incurring a modification fund to get rid of that grinder pump.
I don't know if it's possible.
Because that's just going to be a liability from now till the end of time.
See, we've got those in there that out of poverty born. It's even worse. But that is.
Is everything in the rubber, Susie?
Yeah,
what, I'm just, I don't have any numbers, but I'd say if it was a $2 million project before, if we go back in and try to rebuild it, gravity, it could be a $5 or $10 million project. Because
that's our only other option, gravity on the thing. Go to the lift station and pump it up. Yeah. Would you have to go to? You would have to go to a treatment plant. You could pump uphill to Hollis.
But I just don't know if it's really feasible.
Yeah. Those hydro pumps, so they're going to keep going out. They're going to keep working.
The only thing that helps us is that since we start doing our own repairs, the guys are a lot more careful.
It makes more sense. Of course, one's relative to the other, but it makes more sense than going to the lake. Or whatever that is. What's that? Venice, something like that. As much sense as it doesn't make, it makes more sense than that.
Rob, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
White River Valley Electric.
Well, you must have got tied up longer than you thought.
Yeah. Now this, okay, William's already signed that one, good, because I can't sign that one. That's the Empire one. These other ones I can sign. Yeah, he got tied up just long enough. He comes in here at 4 o'clock. We won't be here.
How much longer does he have? His term's going to do soon, probably, isn't it?
I think it's every January 1st.
Oh, he but he wins his actual term on the board of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember when the last time was he was appointed.
And I don't know anyone standing in line wants this title. Unless you want it.
I don't really want it. You'd be good for that.
But, you know, no. You got 2.5 years left, 3 years left. You'd be the perfect candidate for that. Let me be a lame duck, and then I'll take it. Well, we pawned treasure off on Larry pretty quick that one meeting.
Yeah, that worked out slick.
We might just all in favor of Larry.
So let's vote for him before he knows what happened.
He didn't have a clue what happened to him, and he was not expecting that.
Blindsided. It's whatever it takes to make the world go round.
Oh, goodness. It is what it is, pal.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one.
You too.
Yeah.
does work, it's all like a government industrial network, so it's kind of like what's happening. It's kind of humorous because he knows more about this GIS than most people around. Mm-hmm. And the Empire was first trying to get the mapping system started. Mm-hmm. Paul Brown was involved in it. And he knew we had some of the guys, people who work on the Empire work on their committee, put this together as a community, talk to the other issues. He knows about this stuff. So they went to talk to the head and told him, and said, well, you know, stay away from this. This is the important. Can't recommend anybody to stay away from these people. Look at the other things on the market. This is what you want to incorporate in. Well, they just got to do it all off. That's what all the things is. He's right. They got to do that way. He quit. Sorry, so good. And right before he started his company, he went right to work for a company out of Kansas City. And it turned out Empire Hunt is company. Put their mapping program together, and Fisher was a consultant on it.
Take that aside, yeah. Had it right there all the time.
Yeah, and they could have more salary, but they've got to pay it.
Now you got to pay the people.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I could draw up scope of services, what we're looking for, and then we could approve that, and we could send it out and publicize it, and have guys come in, maybe list it down to, four or five people. And
it may not be something that you need to do. Otherwise, what it's going to be does, but it's what needs to work for them.
I'm just looking somehow. I have the data where all the data of our sewer lines, where to locate that, which that exists, we just have to pull all that together. So
he's put a lot of data on the line. He's done got utility mapping for different cities around different counties. Mm-hmm. Well, before he came back and went to work for his market, he was working over a that's somewhere over there in the Middle East.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
He was the government over there hired him to map out their country. He was living and working over there. That's how
they did it. Oh, they probably hired whoever they wanted to. Yeah, they hired him.
And but he got tired of Jim Ross, and he came back over here and somehow retired.
Well, that'd be fine. I'm just looking at 2 weeks. We've always talked about that. And really, I'm around the river, so that's the only thing I've been in the last few years to cover all the projects. We always really dwell off in talking about that, and that's where it's kind of come up, But
in favor of it,
oh, I am. Well, I'm not. My age, I eat all so much faster, I guess I maybe have kind of unconsciously partial to it because I didn't. I think that'd be great, however we get a good product, But that's the way to identify as we're doing that, identify who's hooked up.
Yeah, this to me, if you've got whole lot of data map, it shows where things are. It doesn't need to be. You can show them right down the street, whether they're in the street or not. Give the size, and then we're going to be able to look and see John Custer over here. He's on Elm Street. He's going to get hooked onto he's going to have a search line that goes out, he's going to get the size down. Whether he can feel it, whether he has a credit card, pressure line, or
a lot of water district, he's there.
Well, he's definitely not yet.
Click on that property, looking at kind of a legend over here that's going to have that information over here. More detail you want. I think the county GIS, I sell them short sometimes. Some things they've been pretty good, some things they've been scary. The parcels are already established, they're already dissected. The parcels are already there with the overhead view and the blue on the view. So that's already there. I think that's better than the bucket. So I think we have to take that part of that. I'm sure Greg, a lot of that's already established. You're going to take advantage.
Some of those you can do that. This is just a lot of stuff out there for us. But whoever can do this, they use one word to get GIS labels. Basically, you've got your GPS points. It's GPS right at the shoe. If your customer hooked up, you can have that GPS form taken.
Yeah.
You want to handle it.
Yeah, and they're getting cheaper.
Yeah, and then you can come back in and you can put that in. Programmer, go back and say, okay,
spend on everything, piece of pipe and stuff, which we can stand for anyway, live on that.
Yeah, that's what you can't do that anyway.
Kind of let it fade.
Survey grade for it.
Yeah, we let it fade out because it's got more than one. I think a lot of what you're saying, somebody who connects that, one of the utility guys be trained to take it out there, get that on it.
What if our deal was, they did want that, it wasn't right. And we still have issues, but they hired it. I saw Kelly come in, must have picked something out. They went through the mapping system. And on the high voltage, just the 12,000 volt motor. But they got poles, showed it was transformable or not. And that information was in on that. The conductor was more importantly, the size. And all the GPS points were people on our map. But it doesn't have, it's not all the way over around the county. It's just got the roads and everything. But if you can click on a pole, clear on midway between two poles and you can use GPS points. Mm-hmm. Show them, you can click on the customer and I'll show you what the GPS location is.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
But as the jobs go in, we do a job now. When I turn a work order in, it has a GPS location where I take it to the field. They can do transport, install, pole location. When that job's completed, it's signed the form, goes on the job with the map. I take it, put that in the database.
That's been kind of our problem because we started talking about that. We want to go on civil or not as much as kind of around commissioners or something that's been pulling up on that. But they're downstairs and online as a part of the office for our last time. And we tried to work. Everybody said, Tommy's got 6 months left. I'll see the good job. But he gets so far, it's like they don't know how to get up to the touch bill. They get so far and it's. We can go running all over the dock place, you know, but that's what I like to do. Except you can never do that high.
Well, the GPS unit says, these are the ones that bought us years ago, seven, 8 years ago, we're good. It takes them a while, but we had a junior, just a few ships, had to replace his. He got finally quit. He got a good one. It was $100-$200.
Yeah.
But in the wind, a couple of minutes, it's locked on the satellite. Got re-locked in solid.
I think that's not
a lot of stuff. It's a chart.
No matter what, they used to be like that $10,000.
But yeah, that'll get you within 10 meters, I think. That's 30 feet. 10 feet, pretty good. You're going to find it's like.
It'll be pretty doggone close.
Yeah, if you get 10 foot per pole, you're. Well, if you're probably going to be able to see them.
Yeah.
And at least if you do the right street.
All right. Well, that's, you know, all good stuff. I like what I heard today and stuff.
Or you got your right support.
Oh, I've never doubted that. You know.
That is in fact, it was probably going to be the staff.
Yeah. John's, you know, Russell, but little, John's thinking maybe temporary. You know, that we'll get a handle on this and then we won't need it. There is a large amount of paper that has to be that's developed in setting up the vacancy letter or setting up the marshmallow. There's a lot of them.
Probably the back along the two vacancies there. Our customer base goes up. Whether the right or the land board, we're going to have more customers to deal with, which will be even more efficient. The workforce will have that cost. And right now, it's going to
see what we're doing up there. We're going to bid and vote. We're going to have them off. It's going to be a dead alternate. And if it comes in half one of these things right here, but we don't know if that'll get paid out.
Okay, we'll see you.
See you.
Thanks.
Thank you.